Good evening, brothers and sisters. Welcome again to this third series of the questions and answer online radio program. I trust you're all fine, and the Lord has been good to you and watched over you these past few days. I would like for us to just say a word of prayer before we get into this series. Let's bow our heads and say a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, dear Lord, we thank you again tonight for your love, your mercy that has enabled us to see this day. We realize many have crossed over, but you still purpose, Lord, that we be here to reflect the glorious light of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, even your word being made manifest in our individual lives. Thank you for your people out there, dear God, and I pray that, Lord, you grant me the grace and the fortitude to answer these questions, dear Lord, that they have put forward, knowing and believing, dear Father, that is from sincere hearts, dear God, seeking answers. So I pray that the Holy Spirit may take full control. Lord, I'm just but mortal. I can only speak, but it takes your mind, even the mind of Christ, to express your word unto us, O God, and make it alive. So these few words that will be spoken, I pray that the Holy Spirit quicken it back to the hearts of the person who asked this question, and many others who will be listening to tonight, Lord. Grant it, Father. Bless your word and bless everyone out there. In Jesus' name, Lord God, I pray and ask the blessing. Amen and amen. So, God bless you. And we want to go straight. I'm going to answer only one question. There are four others, and I will take them as they come. And like I said, these are honest. These questions are from honest and sincere hearts. So I'll do my level best, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will help me and quicken the words and give me the mind of Christ. So question number one, the one we are going to answer today, is here is the question. Revelation 12:1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Then the question is, what does this mean? You see, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. The brother wants to know and wants more clarity and more light shed on this scripture. So there's quite a lot in there, and I was just feeling to answer it. I'm going to read a bit further down to verse 11. You only ask verse 1, but I'm going to read the whole chapter to verse 11, from verse 1 down through to verse 11. And from there we shall pick the context and try to answer this question. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, that's verse 1, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Now, this is the brother's question, what does this mean? So let's read further down. And she, that's the woman, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour our child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child. Thank God. Praise the Lord. Amen. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and our child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Who is this man-child? We need to know. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Now, that is 1,290 days, which is, if you multiply that by, divide that by 30 days a month, you'll find out it comes to 3.5 years. Amen. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Now, let me just say something here. The they here in verse 11 is not the bride. You see, this is the foolish virgin, because if you notice, they love not their lives unto the death. You see, the bride is caught up in the rapture. So this is the foolish virgin paying for rejecting the atonement in fullness. And notice, they overcame the beast by the blood of the Lamb, the dragon, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and then they loved not their lives unto death. You see, and Malachi 4 here says, maybe let me just drop off something here, talking about the foolish virgin going into the tribulation period. He says, a question was asked, will the foolish virgin be saved? Then he said, no. Whatever happens, happens now. After that, she is in the state. You see, whatever happens, happens now. You need the Holy Ghost right now. Salvation right now. After that, it's over. You see, after that, she is in the state. Now, she will have to go through, this is why she goes through a tribulation period for those 3.5 years. Now, she will have to go through a tribulation period. And the reason of it is, because she has rejected the atonement in its fullness. You see, 1964, the atonement in its fullness was already identified. You see, Christ identified, revealed in his word. She is a believer, a professional believer, a professed believer, but she will have to go through the tribulation period, the Bible says. And the rest of them, the dragon spouted water out of his mouth to go and make war. You see, what an hour we are living in. You see, praise the Lord. So let's go back to the brother's question and of Revelations 12:1. The woman, you know, heavy in pain, in birth pains, clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. Now, who is this woman? There are several things there which we want to look at. Who is this woman? And what does the sun and the 12 stars represent? What about the moon? Who is the man-child? And how about the dragon? You see, so many things in there. So we are going to look at some of them. It's a wider subject, but I'll try to answer by God's grace. The woman represents the bride. And the woman also represents the Orthodox Church in the time of Christ. You see, the child represents, of course, Jesus Christ. That's who the child represents. And now I'm going to read one quote that explains and covers all those symbols put together. Now remember, John was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, Revelation 1. You see, so he was speaking of what was to come. You see, because the Spirit started telling, pick up your pen and write all this, what is to come, what you have seen. He was not talking about what is past, though some of these symbols also implies to what has already passed, but as a type of what is to come. So here, the mark of the beast is trying to explain what these symbols mean. So I'm going to read it just as it is. Revelation the 12th chapter, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman. What does a woman represent? The church. Then he says, this is the bride here. This is the church, the real church. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. The sun at her head, the moon under her feet. The sun was the dispensation of grace, and the moon was the dispensation of the law, which the Old Testament, and then, of course, the New Testament. The woman was the Orthodox Church, and she was standing over the law. The law was passing away because the law was a shadow of the good things to come. Now, the woman here also is the Orthodox Church, passed. But like I said, John was looking ahead, and he brought in chapter 12 of Revelation, verse 1. He was not talking about what's past, but was talking about what is to come 2,000 years ago. You see? So you have got to know that. So, but the symbols, he's saying the woman, the law, the Old Testament represents the law, and then the new, the dispensation of grace. And the woman was standing there with the law under her feet, signifying that the law is passing away, another dispensation was coming in. And the law was just a shadow of what was to come. Notice how she was dressed here now. And under her feet and upon her head, a crown of 12 stars. The church is crowned with the doctrine of the 12 apostles. The 12 apostles represents the doctrine of the 12 stars represents the doctrine of the 12 apostles. And she, being with child, travailing in birth, pain to be delivered. That was the Orthodox Church. You see, he's talking of, he's putting one and two together, the past and the present. You see, the past being the Orthodox Church, the present being the bride, the same woman. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great dragon having seven heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. Now, and his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and the child was caught up unto God and to his throne. The Orthodox Church standing there, the sun shining down, the doctrine of the apostle, 12 apostles, with the moon under our feet, the law, the shadow of the things to come. Then the gospel light shining now, the law fading away when the sun comes forth. He's trying to explain what this is all about, and it's quite self-explanatory. Then he continues, she was in pain to be delivered, and she brought forth a man-child, and I thank God for that. Praise the Lord. Amen. She brought forth a man-child, which was Christ Jesus, and he was caught up to God. And as soon as the dragon, which was the devil, saw the woman ready to deliver, he stood right by her to devour his child as soon as it was born. You see, but he won't manage, because there's already prophecy that the child will come forth, the man Jesus Christ. the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Now, who is this dragon? And when Jesus was born, the Roman Empire issued a proclamation to slay all the children from 2 years old down to get to kill Jesus Christ. And God pulled the wool over his eyes and took him down in Egypt and hid him as he did Moses the same way. So today, they won't get the bride. The bride will be gone. She has an anointing, an eagle anointing upon her, not to pass through tribulation period, but she will be caught up. You see, there is the red dragon. There it is. The Roman Empire. Where is this seat at? Not in Russia. The seat is in Rome. And say, the devil give him his seat and his authority, the red dragon, not Russia. Now, that pretty much explains this vision that John saw 2,000 years ago, looking ahead to this time. But like I said before, it's talking of what happened and what is to happen. So we need to divide it and make more sense to it. But what does this mean to us? You see, we already know this woman represents the end time church. You see, also the bride. It also represents the Orthodox Church coming from the old dispensation of the law, you see, which is the Old Testament, and fading into the New Testament. So the woman represents both things. So she brings a man child. She was to bring forth a man child, and she did. And the man child, it says here, is caught up. The woman, after delivery, flees into the wilderness and is kept for 1,290 days, which is 3.5 years, the tribulation period. Praise the Lord. So that pretty much explains this vision. Amen. But the brother, he wanted to know what the vision means, and the quote I read above explains it. But I want to go a little bit farther, you see, a little bit deeper, and speak about this man child in relation to the New Testament coming through to this time. You see that? I just want to say something about that and what it really means to us. Yeah. Now, we know there was only one sacrifice for sin. One. The Old Testament looks to the cross. It pointed to the cross ahead. The cross coming forth. The New Testament points back to that same cross. There's only one cross that bridges the new, the old, and the new. They all look towards it. And once it was fulfilled, the new now looks back to that cross. You see? Praise the Lord. Amen. So it's very important. So the Old Testament was a type of what was to come. And that's why Jesus said, I've not come to take away the law, but have come to fulfill the law. And Paul, bringing the New Testament, speaking of the New Testament, did not eliminate the law. He was just an antitype. He brought the law and made sense to it. The law was speaking of the real thing that they had at that time. So he was presenting the real thing, present tense to the people, which we should do. We are commissioned to do that, to present the real thing, Jesus Christ, to the people, and then it will be meaningful. You see, salvation will be meaningful. Amen. Now, in Hebrews 9, verse 15 to 20, it's talking about the mediator, Christ being the mediator of the New Testament. Now, I want to inject something. I want to bring something here, and I trust and believe it will help us. Like I say, I want to go a little bit farther. Amen. To what the brother asked a question, but I want to go a little bit farther. Then now verse 15 says, and for this cause he is the mediator. He's talking about Christ now. He has already died, risen from the dead. Now Paul here is blessing, you see, what he means to the church. And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament. they which are called might receive the promise of eternal promise, eternal inheritance, which we know as eternal life. You see that? But there had to be a mediator of the New Testament to bring forth the redemption for the transgressions, you see, that were under the First Testament. For where a test, now this is very important here, for where a testament is a covenant, for where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of a testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon, neither the First Testament was dedicated without blood. Neither the First Testament was dedicated without blood. It's referred to the Old Testament here. You see, it was not without blood, but it was the blood of bulls, the blood of animals. But the New Testament is different, you see, and the New Testament could not come into effect without the death of the testator. The testator here is none other than Christ, the man child that was born. You see that? You see, to give strength to it. Then he's bringing here the Old Testament, whereupon neither the First Testament was dedicated without blood. That is the Old Testament. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool in hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God has enjoined unto you." So he gave them the word, but the word could not come into effect without the blood. You see that? So there has got to be a testator. In this case, it was bulls and animals. So Paul here is explaining the strength of the Old Testament and the strength of the New Testament. He's separating it. But it is all blood. You see? But it could not come into effect without the shedding of blood. And there cannot be the shedding of blood if there's no testator, you see, to bring forth. Amen. To make it strong. So something had to die. So the Old Testament, being a shadow, looked forward to the cross. It was just a type, bulls, talking of a real Lamb of God that was to come. You see, while the New Testament, the church ages, to this time, to this day, to now, this moment, looks back to the cross. But it is the same blood, making him the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise the Lord. As we look back to the cross, but it is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Present tense. Praise the Lord. Amen. So the point here is that there is a testator to make the Old Testament, the blood. And there's a testator to make the New Testament, give it strength, more strength. And the strength is the blood. So the testator had to die. In this case, the man child, Jesus Christ. You see? So the point I'm trying to bring here is that from the cross to now, there isn't another testament. There's only one testament, the New Testament. Because there cannot be a testament without the shedding of blood. Amen. So that shedding of blood was done once, and now from then on it makes it, because he rose up from the dead, then it makes him the same yesterday, today, and forever, because he doesn't have to die every time. Amen. And then you also find out that God made a covenant with Abraham. You see, and I said before that a testament is actually a covenant. So he confirmed that covenant. This is how he did it. He made a covenant and he confirmed it. So let me read it. Two scriptures from Genesis. One, Genesis 17, what the covenant is, and then Genesis 15, amen, the confirmation of the covenant. Now he says, "And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed," which you know to be Christ, "after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. And this is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. And we know the sign of the circumcision, what it means. You see, it means confirmation of the what is the sign of the faith that Abraham had, which of course we know as being the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So Genesis 15, 7 to 12 that I'm going to read is the confirmation of that covenant, which points to the death of Christ on the cross. You see that? That's what Genesis 15 does. It points to the death of Christ on the cross. And he says, that's Genesis 15, 7 to 12, this is what it says. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, Take me an ephah of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid them each one against another. But the birds divided he not. Now the prophet says, the reason he never divided the birds, because the bird speaks of divine healing. That was the same yesterday, that was in the same in the Old Testament, the same in the New Testament. But the other ones, he divided them into two, the animals, because that represented Christ. And when the falls came down upon the carcass, Abraham drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham, and lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. And if you continue reading further, you'll find that there's a light that went in between them. Praise the Lord. Let me get that just for a moment. Just bear with me for a moment. Genesis 15, let me get it here. Genesis 15, amen. I read down a little bit. Praise the Lord. Amen. Genesis chapter 15. Let me just get it here right quick. Genesis 15. Here we go. Genesis. Praise the Lord. Genesis 15. Just a moment, we are almost there. Praise God, praise God, praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, I love the word of God. And in Genesis chapter 15, from verse 13, yes, Genesis 15. Let's go down here. Genesis 15. Okay, I read from verse 16. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between these pieces, those pieces rather. And in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, Unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Praise the Lord. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. So God making his covenant with Abraham. And the prophet says, he continues here, talking about that confirmation of that covenant. He says, God has made an unconditional covenant. He swore by the death of Jesus Christ, he sent the Holy Ghost back down to you to be a confirmation that the covenant is made with you. Brother, I don't want the devil to rob you out of that. The Holy Ghost is a confirmation that you are in the covenant. And the Holy Ghost itself And the Holy Ghost is the person of Jesus Christ itself. And then he says here also, when he gave Abraham the confirmation of the covenant, he required a heifer of 3 years old, a sacrifice, speaking of Christ. That's the scripture that we read is referring to that. Now, this heifer was to be a distinguished heifer or one different. It was to be a heifer that was red in color without one spot on it. Now, all those things had a significance to them. They had a meaning. Every little detail had a meaning. What they meant to those people in the type, what ought it to mean to us in the antitype? What they'd done with it there under the law, what could we do with it today under the baptism of the Holy Spirit? You see, praise the Lord. Amen. So he continues to say, red to us is a color of danger, but red also is a color of redemption, and redemption comes through the blood. And God testified that blood is, was, and always will be the only resource of redemption. Praise the Lord. Amen. So the point I'm trying to make here is this. From Calvary to the blood. From Calvary to the book of the Acts, the book of Acts, through the seven church ages, to this day, it is the same blood, the same covenant, the same person. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ. None other but Him and Him alone. And He's the center of our joy, the center of our salvation. Amen. He's the focus of our worship. A brother made a very interesting testament, a very interesting post in Facebook, and it was shared to me. And this is the statement he made. He says, church age will have no effect. This is the bride message after the seven seals reveal. Third pull testament, not written but spoken, Revelation 10, 7, voice. This was his post on Facebook somewhere. Yeah. So it was shared to me by one brother. So what the brother is saying here is that the bride age, the seventh seal, the third pool, is another testament, is another covenant. That's what he's actually saying. That's why he says it will not have any effect. This is the bride age, this is the third pool testament, not written, but spoken. You see, but it can't be, you see. For he said in Hebrews 9, verse 11, 15, talking about a testament. And I already explained out there. So the brother is trying to separate the seventh seal being another covenant, another testament from the seven church ages. You see that? But the scriptures disagrees with that. Because God made a covenant with Abraham. And in the confirmation of that covenant, the confirmation of that covenant points to Christ, points to Calvary. That's where he wrote that covenant, on Calvary, which he gave Abraham. In the Old Testament, which was an antitype of the real thing. So what he did to Abraham was a type of the real thing that he was gonna do. So there was this woman in pain trying to bring forth this child. And the dragon, the devil, Satan, knowing what the birth of this child meant, stood there to destroy that child. You see that? That child was actually the testator. The one who was to shed his blood for a new testament, a new covenant, which was not talking about a physical land, Canaan, but was talking about an eternal inheritance for the bride. So the blood had to be shed for that, to bridge. And he had to bridge the Old Testament saints who looked to the cross. And that's why when he died on the cross, He called them all from the dead and he took them up because they looked to him. You see that? But now, there's no way that the New Testament, which is the seven church ages, as the brother is talking about here, can be separated from the seventh seal. So when the seventh seal opened up, it did not bring forth a new covenant, a new testament. You see, that means it would have to bring forth a new testator with its own blood. But the Bible doesn't speak of that, because everything has to run from Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation. If you do that, then that breaks the scriptures. You see, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 here to 15, this is what it says. But Christ, being come an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, physical building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. Now listen, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. You see that? Amen. So the opening of the seventh seal could not bring forth another testament, another covenant. It's not possible. You see that? When the seventh seal opened up, the Bible said there was silence. But the seven thunders that was in the back of the book was placed inside the Bible. You see? Inside the Bible. And Malachi 4 put it in there. So that there's only one Bible. Amen. It could not be separated. So there's no way that we can have a new testament, a new covenant, by the opening of the seventh seal. It is the same cross that goes all through. That's why now, in the seven church ages, in the Pergamos church age, in the Philadelphian church age, there was an open door. And the Bible says that was the supreme deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. The supreme one. The same Christ that was in the book of the Revelation chapter 1 with the head, you know, covered up with a cloud. It was the same Christ that we find out that came forth under the seventh seal. But say, behold, I laid before thee an open door, which was the revelation of his supreme deity, the person of Jesus Christ coming down himself for the bride. And that runs right up to this time. So in the rising of the sun, he saw him. You see that? Him covered with a cloud, which is Christ, as he was in Revelation chapter 1. Blessed be the name of the living God. So there isn't another testator. There isn't another blood. It's the same blood. It's the same testator. It's the same covenant. It's the same person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he should be our emphasis. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. And the bride in this day will bring him forth. It will be Jesus Christ made manifest, speaking, talking, walking, fulfilling his word. It will be the mind of Christ. I do nothing except my Father shows me first. It will be all those scriptures, Revelations, I mean, St. John 14:12, the works that I do shall you do also, even greater works shall you do. It will be Christ made manifest, being one with the bride coming. That is the man-child that is coming forth in our time, in our age, in our season. And it will be nothing but the Word and the Word alone. You see, now you can still run this back to the book of Genesis, where the prophet says, he was the child that Eve was commissioned to bring forth. But Eve failed, could not bring him forth. It's Jesus Christ. But Mary brought him forth. The Orthodox Church brought him forth. And he had to die. But now the bride will still bring him forth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But it will be nothing but the Word of God. The same yesterday, today, and forever. So there it is. But the woman, the foolish virgin, goes forth, goes out there, amen, in tribulation period. The dragon, of course, we know who he is, amen. It's that spirit that persecutes the bride. It happened the Roman Empire wanted to destroy him. Pharaoh wanted to destroy him, amen, when, Moses, the birth of Moses, tied his birth, Christ wanted to destroy the same thing today. They will try to stop it coming forth, but by interpretation, of course, we know that, but he will come forth. Praise the name of the Lord, amen. So God bless you. I trust and believe this has been, this is a deep subject. Amen. Maybe we shall get into it again further. And I thought I would just handle it, only that one, because of the depth of that very question. So my brother who has asked this question, I trust and believe this has been of help, that this will help you to search even further in the Word. Amen. And to desire one thing, and your labor pains should be just one. To bring forth Christ Jesus. Himself, the Word, made manifest in your life. Praise the Lord. Amen. That should be your desire. That should be what you should hunger for. Amen. To see Him made manifest, brought to life, to reality in your life. So the Lord bless you. Amen. There are some other questions which I'll look at them again next Tuesday. The Lord willing. So keep me in prayers as we handle these questions as they come. Amen. So there's one about the Genesis account of creation. We'll look at that. And then there's another one on the interpretations in the message. Amen. Getting money and control over the church. We shall look at that one also. And then, of course, there's another one. What does it mean to follow New York and things like that? Does the Bible say we should follow that? Does the prophet say we should follow New York? Or we shall look at all that, amen, depending on how the Lord provides the time and the guidance. So the Lord bless you, and I wish you the best of this week. Pray for me. We shall be in Mombasa this weekend, the Lord willing. Keep us in prayers. Amen. God bless you. Shalom.